Well, good morning and a happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. Good morning. So my name is Doug Young. I am obviously not Pastor Laura. A few months ago, Laura came to me and said, Doug, we want you to preach a sermon for Father's Day. I am not a preacher. I'm not a pastor. I am a son. My dad happens to be here this morning. Hey, Dad, wave. This is my father. I am a dad. One of my daughters is here, Anna, wave. But I am not a preacher, so this is not a sermon, okay? Now that we got that straight, I do have a couple of things I do want to share with you this morning. And am I getting some feedback here? Are we okay? Okay. But before I do, I want to ask for your help. I'm betting that some of you here this morning have a story, maybe a little life lesson or a little short nugget of wisdom that your father or your grandfather or a special man in your life imparted on you to help you in your life journey or in your faith journey. So this is going to kind of be an audience participation, if you will. When I'm done in a few minutes, Brad is going to help me. We're going to have a couple of mics and we're going to just come through the room here. And if you want to share a very short story about your father or a special man in your life, we would love to hear from you. So please be thinking about that, if you will, while I'm talking. So I feel pretty confident in saying that we men are not perfect. In fact, we're far from it. Can we all agree on that? Okay. We men can sometimes be a challenge to put up with and, yeah, to even understand. Perhaps part of the challenge is that we men have our own language, if you will. So allow me to help translate for you a couple of the things that we men say. When a man says it would take too long to explain how it works, what we really mean is, I have no idea how it works. When a man says, oh, I'm fine, it's just a little cut, it's no big deal. What we really mean is, I have probably severed a limb, but I will bleed to death before I admit to anyone that I'm hurt. When a man says, I can't find it, what we really mean is, it did not fall into my outstretched hand, so I am completely clueless where it is. I heard some ladies laughing on that one. And finally, I save the best for last. When a man says, we're not lost, I know exactly where we are. What we really mean is, no one will ever see us alive again. Well, in spite of our shortcomings and our challenges and being understood, God loves us anyway. That's the good news, isn't it? In spite of who we are, God loves us. In spite of all the many mistakes that we make, God loves us, right? So Mike read this morning the parable of the lost son, and it's one of my favorite parables that Jesus tells in the Bible. It portrays how much our Heavenly Father truly loves us. So I'm going to expound on that, and I'm going to borrow some insights into this parable from Dr. Kenneth Bailey, who was a renowned New Testament scholar, professor, missionary, and author. He lived for many years in the Middle East, and he studied this parable in perspective of Middle Eastern culture. Some fascinating insights. So I'm going to paraphrase some of the things that Dr. Bailey shares about this parable. First of all, it would have been unthinkable and highly disrespectful in that day's culture for a young son to ask his father for a share of his father's estate. In fact, that act would be grounds for the father to drive his son out of the family and disinherit him. Also, this request by this young son would have been seen as an act of betrayal towards his father and his father's family. It would be like this son turning his back on his family and basically saying, I don't care about you, I only care about myself, and I want your money. Goodbye. Additionally, this father endures this humiliation and this pain of his son rejecting him, and he complies with his son's wish and gives him his portion of the family estate to go and do as he wishes. We all know the story. We know how it ends. But here's a few more cultural contexts from Dr. Bailey that further explain this deep love of this father for his son. After blowing through his father's money, the young son heads home, and the father sees him from a ways off. In one of the versions, I think it talks about seeing the son come over the horizon. For me, this conjures up an image of this heartbroken father watching the horizon many times each day for this lost son. And I have to assume this son was gone for a long time, maybe weeks, months, maybe years. And yet every day, this father who loved this son is constantly watching for him. Where is my son? Then, when the father does see his son returning from over the horizon, what does he do? But he runs to his son. In that culture, patriarchs did not run. It was undignified to run. You had to pull up your ground-length robe and expose your bare legs, which in those days was considered disgraceful. But not this father. He throws aside his dignity and runs to his lost son. What a powerful message of love. Not only does the father run to his son, but when he gets to him, he flings his arms around him and kisses him. Again, in that culture and time, this son normally would have been grudgingly permitted to come back into the village, but would have been humiliated and scorned by the folks in the village. The father would have remained distant and refused to see his son for many years. It's kind of hard for us to imagine that, right? But this is the way it was back in those days. And again, not this father. He loves his son. So again, this is why I love this parable, because it paints for me such a vivid picture of a loving and grace-filled father who keeps watch for us, and when he sees us coming back home, what does he do? He runs towards us. So what about us? Do we believe that in spite of the many mistakes that we've made and will make, that we are loved? What about us? Do we believe that in spite of the many mistakes we've made, that we can be loved like this father loved this son without condition? What about us? When somebody cuts us off in traffic, do we show them love? Or do we show them something else? What about us? When somebody at our school or work or neighborhood talks about us behind our backs or maybe spreads a false rumor about us, are we quick to forgive and show them compassion? What about us? When we encounter somebody different from us, maybe a different skin color, a different nationality, a different sexuality, do we embrace them? What about us? Do we find ourselves preoccupied with who we are? Or does it only matter to us whose we are? Amen. So as I mentioned at the start, we want to have a few moments here, just an open floor. I know that some of y'all have some life stories or some nuggets of wisdom that a special man in your life imparted on you. We had several folks this morning share some great stories with us, and I love the tie, by the way. That's cool. Yeah. I didn't know we switched to wear ties today. So we're just going to open it up right now, and if you have something you would like to share about, again, your dad or a special man in your life, maybe a pastor or a youth leader or a grandfather, uncle, brother, whoever, just raise your hand. We'd love to come to you. You can stand where you are and just share your story. So, anybody?
I'll start it off if you want me to, Doug.
Okay, sure.
I'll hand you that one.
Yep.
So, when Doug and I talked about this about a week ago, it was funny because happened to be on the radio right now. It's a really good song by Zach Brown called My Old Man. If you haven't heard it, it's probably appropriate for today. But basically, it's a story about a young man who had just become a father and has now realized the lessons his dad taught him as they come into fruition as he is now a dad. And obviously, as a dad with two young girls, I would say I can completely relate to that. And I think when I start thinking of that, the first thing that comes to my mind is just the sacrifices that, you know, parents make, but particularly my dad. Not to go into long story detail, we grew up in Charlotte for a couple years. He commuted to Greensboro and back because he liked the school we were in and wanted everybody to remain, you know, kind of in the situation they're in. He's a huge car guy, but honestly, I don't remember him really driving nice cars or any even new cars until probably I was out of college, right? So I just look back and I think of that song and kind of the lessons you learn. I'm really, I recognize the sacrifices my parents made, and it's probably coming even more clear as I have grown and become more, every day that I'm a dad, I guess I appreciate the sacrifices that they've made and he's made for me. So that's my moment.
Thank you, Brad. Appreciate it. Others. Yep.
My dad shared with me advice that goes back 150 years to his father. And it was, if you make a bad bargain, hug it all the tighter.
Wonderful. Thank you. Yep.
My dad was not a person who could put his feelings into words very easily. But he would often do things. And it was like, I remember one time I was getting ready to go back to Durham, and I was in school at the time, and I needed a new set of tires. And I was going to go back and look for some refurbished tires. And I find an envelope sort of hidden in the front seat of the car. And in that envelope was a couple $100. And nothing was ever said about it, but that was the kinds of things he would do. He would, when you needed something, he wouldn't say, here, I'm going to give you this. He would, in some way, give it to you, but not say anything about it.
Love it. Sacrifice. Thank you for that story. Yeah. Others, I'm sure you have some stories about your dad or a special man in your life. Oh, gosh. There you go. All right, we're in church. Keep it clean now.
I'll stand. Hello, everyone. So I just want to say really quick, my dad always told me, ever since I was a kid when he would drive me to school, that always spread a random act of kindness. Always tell someone, I like your shirt, or, hey, you look really pretty today. And that has just really been so important to me growing up, just to always, no matter how someone treats you, or if you don't know them at all, to always just love everybody and spread love as much as you can, and that's been really important to me.
Thank you, sweetie.
Thank you, Dad.
Thank you so much. I forgot the tie, though, so. Others, other stories or something you'd like to share? Yes.
My dad was a physician, and when I told him in college that I wanted to go to medical school, he said, really? Do you really want to work that hard? I said, yes, sir. So anyways, it was hard. And I can remember facing the National Board Parts 1, 2, and 3 and talked to them on the phone. And he would say, you're at the 5-yard line. You can do it. And then when we had 3 children under 3 and both of us working full time and averaging about 4 hours of sleep, I would call him and say, this is really hard, Dad. You're at the 5-yard line. You can do it. So the 5-yard line became my mantra.
Love it. Love it. Thank you so much for sharing. Are there others? Others? Yes, Julia. Can you pass that down to her? Or Brad? Do you want to pass that down to her? Thank you. Thanks, Julia.
It wasn't really what my father said, but what I observed from him, his behavior. He was the general manager of a textile mill in the small town I grew up in. And what I observed was that he treated all of his employees with the same amount of respect, whether it be the person who just, sweeps the floor or the supervisors. He treated everyone with dignity and respect, and that stuck with me.
I love that. Thank you. Yeah. Back here and over here to Ann. Yeah. Toss it to me, Brad. I'll catch it. There's one back here. Yeah, Abby, and then, yeah.
My dad would hug us a lot. I'm behind you, sorry. He would hug us like when we came back from the mailbox. We had a short driveway. And he just hugged us all the time. And eventually my sister asked him, why do you hug us all the time? And he said he didn't want us to think his love was tied to our accomplishments. He just wanted us to know that unconditionally he loved us.
What a great story. I love that. Yeah, just the the power of touch too, right? So important. Yeah, Ann.
When I was a junior in college, my boyfriend invited me to come and meet his family for the weekend. So I drove from Chapel Hill and met my boyfriend's family. And I was at the house and I happened to glance outside and my car was in the driveway and the hood was up. And so I asked my boyfriend, what is going on? And we look out there and he goes, oh, it's my dad. He was checking the oil, checking the tire pressure, checking the water level, making sure all the car was all in good shape before, you know, this 20-year-old who didn't know anything about a car got in it to drive back to Chapel Hill. So I decided that I would keep him. He's been my father-in-law for over 31 years, and I have watched him just quietly see what needs to be done and take care of it. He never talks about it, doesn't make a fuss, just sees something and takes care of it.
Love it. Love it. Thank you so much. Brad's right there. Do we have others? Mike.
So I am blessed with two wonderful girls, and I think the lessons that my dad taught me growing up, I hope I can impart those to my girls. But one thing that always stands out, or that I will always remember, I was 12 years old, and I was playing Little League Baseball, and my dad had never missed a game. And he traveled frequently, and he happened to be in Chicago, and I knew he was going to miss the game. And about the fourth inning, the team that we're playing was the best team in the league against the best pitcher in the league, and he had a no-hitter going against us. I saw this taxi cab pull up through the parking lot in the fourth inning, and out jumps my dad. He had flown in from Chicago for the game and was flying out back to Chicago the very next morning. And that just showed me the unconditional love that my dad had and the example that he was always going to be there. So to finish the story, again, we were being no hit. I was the first batter up the next inning. I got our first hit, and I ended up scoring the tying run in the sixth inning to send it into extra innings, and I had the game-winning hit in extra innings. So just what a great example of what a dad and a father. Again, I hope I can be the same to my kids.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, great story. I've got to piggyback on that story very quickly, and he's probably not going to remember this, but same baseball story. Little kid, I was maybe, I don't know, 8, 9 years old. First baseball game. Hit the bat, at the plate, I strike out. What did I do? I went behind the backstop and started crying. What does he do? He comes down from the seats and puts his arms around me and says, come on, son, it's okay. Gives me that love and that hug, so thank you, Dad, for that.
I won't tell you what my dad did when I struck out.
Do we have others that would like to share before we wrap things up? Mike, yep.
Well, Mike, I'm glad to see you gave your dad his money's worth. I want to talk a little bit about my dad and the sense of community and family that he instilled in us. And it comes down to, well, this is summer. We all think of vacations, but when we were kids, there were six of us. We didn't really have vacations. We had, we're going to visit Uncle So-and-so, and that was our vacation, we would find out. And that would involve him calling one of his old high school buddies, or maybe one of my aunts or uncles, and letting him know that our family of six kids was getting in the station wagon to come to visit for a week. So we would do that, and there was never any reluctance, and we were always welcomed with open arms, and we had a great time. We didn't do things like beaches and resorts. We would maybe go to see a baseball game or a museum or something, and very often do plant tours like the Kellogg's plant in Michigan or the Kodak plant in Rochester. These are places where my relatives live. But we always had a great time hanging out with my cousins and getting to know them. And it was very special because we always retained those relationships even now, and the importance of doing that.
Thanks for sharing. Anybody else? Mr. Wood. Yes.
I think my dad, when he was in high school, he found his passion in life for what he wanted to do. And just growing up, I always remember him talking to my brothers and my sister, and I'm always just saying, because you know, you start trying to figure out what you want to do with your life, and he would always, he never really pushed us in any direction, but he encouraged us to find what we enjoyed doing, and he really supported all of us in the different ventures and directions that we went, and I think it's worked out really well for all of us.
Great. Thanks for sharing. Yep. Are there others? Okay. Well, again, thank you all so much for what you've shared and making this a very special morning for all of us. And again, to all the dads, happy Father's Day, and God bless you.